Welcome again in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we are in the middle. Oh, I don't have my Sweet Life image up. Okay, anyway. We're in the middle of a sermon series called The Sweet Life. And we are doing, for the whole summer, we're talking about how candies can influence our faith. Kind of, sort of, not really, but yes. And so, in the midst of this, when the kids have an off week, I'm going to be sharing some messages about how sweet the sound and some classic hymn songs. And so, what we did a few weeks ago, we talked about how Amazing Grace, right? Do you remember that? And we talked about that hymn and God's amazing grace. Well, today, we are doing a different song that we're going to be able to sing towards the end of the service today. And so part of this is that I've been very aware, I think over the past couple of weeks, as people come to talk to me on Sunday morning, and even after last Sunday, the burdens that a lot of people carry, the trials and things that we go through, but basically a lot of us are carrying a lot of heaviness, a lot of burdens, a lot of things that we are dealing with. And if it's not you personally, then chances are it's somebody that's very near and dear to you, a friend, a family member, somebody that you work with, somebody that you're associated with, and you know what they're going through, a friend from high school. And so we know that we are carrying these things. So I wanted to talk about a way that we could begin to alleviate some of these burdens. So as I said, we're talking about these classic hymns. Before I begin, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to share this message, God. And Lord, you have given us this opportunity even now to seek your face and to pray and to talk. And so, God, we just speak to you as Abba Father right now, God, knowing that you hear and listen and care. And so, God, we need you here in this moment as we receive and as I share this message, and that, God, you would be in and through all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the song I'm talking about today is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Do you remember ever singing that growing up or in your former Christian days? What a friend we have in Jesus. And so I'm going to share the very beginning stanza of this song, and it goes like this. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Everything. Say everything. Everything to God in prayer. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 4. He says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. All right, so my hope and my prayer this morning as we go through this message is that you will develop a true and sincere love, an affection for the presence of God that you can experience through prayer. Because honestly, that presence of God is what is going to make a difference for all of the things that we are carrying, all of the things that we are dealing with. And it is only through getting in the presence of God that we're going to see amazing changes and miraculous changes and how our lives can be affected. I have found that, depending on different perspectives, that people don't always understand the concept of prayer. Sometimes people think it's a chore at best, and maybe even ineffective at worst. Sometimes prayer for some people feels like a duty. It's something that they absolutely must do, but they don't understand the beauty of it. Or maybe they think that it's a waste of time. So many people don't really understand the concept or the discipline of prayer. The joy of prayer, my sister, thank you for that. Because sometimes there's misconceptions about prayer. You know, before I had grown up in a very serious denomination, and praying became a very serious thing. And I had never experienced the ability to kind of talk to the Lord with joy and happiness and just talk throughout my day. So in a way, I had always believed that prayer was kind of complicated. And that because of the way that I was raised, that you had to speak a certain way in order to pray. And oftentimes it was kind of King James-ish, you know what I mean? Like, oh, heavenly fatherish God, thou artest the most incrediblest God. You know, and the people that were surrounding me had this kind of lofty language, and it made me feel like my prayers weren't sufficient. Or somehow there might be a formula involved. You know, how people say, well, you absolutely have to pray in the morning. You have to pray in the morning, and then maybe you have to pray for at least an hour, right? In order for prayer to be truly effective, you have to just park yourself for at least an hour, first thing in the morning. And if anybody here either loves to sleep or can't imagine getting up any earlier to spend an hour in prayer before, I think you get up at, what, 3:30 already? Okay, so all these kind of formulaic things, you start thinking, oh my goodness, I can't possibly do the things that I'm expected to do. Or maybe, you know, like you have to pray in your closet. I never really understood what that meant. I have to actually get in my prayer closet. If you saw the little closet that I have in my house right now, it's like the kind of thing that Harry Potter stays a little under the stairs. Am I going to crawl in there and create a prayer closet? And so there were all these things that kind of complicated it, and it made it difficult for me to understand. And then, of course, there's these people that you can get around that are professional prayers. Do you know what I'm saying? And they make it seem like your prayers can't possibly level out, because it's this poetry in motion. Everything that they say is like just beauty and poetry, and it's like Thoreau is praying. And so it gets difficult to come after somebody like that. That's why I like to try to get you guys to pray out loud, right? How many people here like to do that when I say that? Oh, you're going to pray for so-and-so. We're in a small group, and so-and-so is going to pray for so-and-so. Everybody goes, ha! Because most people don't like to pray out loud. And it's because we think, or we have fashioned in our minds what it's supposed to sound like. And basically, it's a tool of the enemy to keep us from praying. It's defeated before we've even begun. Then there are those people too, and maybe you know them too. And I hope I'm not one of these people where I start praying, and you're like, oh, I can't possibly. You know, like, as the Lord, you know, as the word says in Isaiah 53 or 54, you know, page 179 in my Bible, top right-hand corner, it says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, right? So all these prayers are citations and making it seem like I can't possibly. How am I going to keep up? So in a lot of ways, maybe our prayers sound more like, you know, you try to catch up and you say things like, God, you're good. You're good to the last drop, God. God, your word, it's sweet, and it melts in my mouth and not in my hands, just like these candies we've been talking about. And so it gets to be where we just are struggling to pray. So I want to talk about a few things. Oh, wait a minute. Sorry, I got two more things. I had the wrong notes up. All right, so we think it's complicated. Number two, we think it might be boring. Prayer is boring. Again, I'm talking about misconceptions. You know, even the disciples fell asleep, right? So Jesus says, hang out here. I'm going off. He's in the garden. I'm going to go pray. And he comes back, and the disciples are sleeping, right? I can appreciate that. In a lot of ways, I kind of get that. And if you can't tell from me at all, I'm a little ADD, okay? So I squirrel in a moment's notice. So I begin to pray, you know? I'll be praying for somebody. God, you know, my friend, they really need Jesus. And I need coffee. I got to write that on the list. And, oh, the cat box needs to be charged. And then before I know it, I've gone from, like, point A to point B, C, and 103, and I've forgotten what my initial prayer has been about. Or, I mean, I've even said this to people. If you are uptight and you have anxiety and you wake up in the middle of the night and you can't fall asleep, I have told people to pray in the middle of the night. Why? Because I pray in the middle of the night. And you know what happens? I fall asleep. And it's not because prayer is boring. My caveat to that is I believe that as we take our minds off our own concerns and begin to pray for other people, God gives us that peace so that we can fall back asleep. But honestly, if the disciples fell asleep, it's possible we can fall asleep. And some people just think prayer doesn't work, that it's ineffective, as I said. You know, like your questions might be, if prayer really works, then why didn't my grandmother get healed? If prayer really works, why don't I have that new job that I need? If prayer really works, why have I not been healed yet? And sometimes we question whether or not we're doing things correctly. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe God doesn't actually listen. Maybe he already knows what's going to happen, so why should I even bother participating? But the truth is that we are not praying to a distant, uninvolved, hard-to-please God. We are praying to a loving, caring, and personal God who calls us friend. He calls us friend. The writer of John records it this way. He says, I've never called you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants, but I call you my most intimate friend. Friends. You know, he was accused of being a friend of sinners. God is our friend. He's a relational God who loves us and allows us to actually come into his very throne room of grace to approach him in prayer. So I wanted to share this hymn today, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And let me give you a little history about the writer so you can understand the depth of what he has written and penned for us. His name is Joseph Scriven. He was an Irishman that lived in the early 1800s, and he, as a young man, was engaged to his high school sweetheart. You know, if he lived now, he would be posting on social media all of the pictures of he and his sweetheart. He'd be calling in all of the dedications on the radio, and they did everything together, and they were about to get married, and the day before their wedding, they were each riding horseback. You can imagine the scene. Coming to one another to meet the day before their wedding. But what happened to her is her horse bucked, and she fell. And when she fell, she hit her head on the rock and rolled into the river that she was riding alongside. And by the time he arrived, he found her dead in the river. Moments before this happened. So tragically, he doesn't know quite what to do with his life. He's living in Ireland, but he has to really move away from everything that he's ever known, and he moves to Canada. And when he's in Canada, he actually encounters the grace and the incredible power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he hears the Sermon on the Mount. And after in being engaged with that scripture, he decides that he's going to take an absolute vow of poverty. And he begins to serve those that can't afford it. So he begins to do a lot of work and offering to help people that can't help themselves financially. If people had the means, he wouldn't help them. He only helped those that didn't have the means. And so in this vow of poverty, he saw himself as serving Christ, being in the hands and the feet of Christ. Do you remember the nickname of John Newton, the gentleman that wrote Amazing Grace? Do you remember the nickname they gave him on board ship? The Great Blasphemer, you remember that? Because his language was so interesting. Well, this gentleman's nickname was the Good Samaritan. He helped the widows and he helped the poor, just as what we are told to do in Scripture. And eventually, his behavior becomes so attractive to this other young woman. Her name is Elisa Roche. And they eventually become engaged as well. So he falls in love again with Eliza. And weeks before his wedding, you can imagine what happens. She contracts pneumonia at age 23 and dies. So this gentleman has lost two loves of his life. So he's agreed that he is never going to love again. And that is the end of his relationship with women. And so in the course of his lifetime, his mom back in Ireland becomes very, very ill. And because he's taken this vow of poverty, he can't go back to visit her. But instead decides that he's going to pen a poem and mail it to his mom. The poem actually becomes very famous, not set to a hymn tune or anything. Joseph Scriven has no idea about this because he's in Canada, but over in Ireland, the poem that he wrote to his mother had become actually pretty famous, and his friend had come to visit him in Canada and saw in Joseph's belongings on his desk the handwritten version of this poem before he sent it to his mom. And the friend said, "Did you actually write this famous poem?" And Joseph said, "Well, actually, the Lord and I wrote it." So he has this famous poem that eventually gets set to music. And let me read some more of this to you. So now that you understand the concept of this gentleman's life and what he had gone through and how he had served the Lord, hear the words in a different way. And it says this: "Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Jesus' brother writes this: "Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." Right? What can your prayers do? Prayers are the way that you defeat the devil. Prayers are the way that you restore the fallen. Prayers are the way you move mountains in your life. Prayers are the way that you calm storms in your life. Prayers are the way that we heal the sick, push back darkness, and invoke the power of God. And prayer is the way that you encounter God's presence, know His will, and experience His peace. Take it to the Lord in prayer. So how do we pray? How do we pray? I'm just going to give you a few things to simplify things, right? We don't want to make it complicated. We want to make it simpler to pray. So sometimes we talk to God. Paul talks about this in prayer in that simple language. But remember, when Paul was writing in Philippians, he thought that he was coming to Rome to preach the gospel, but rather he ends up in jail. And in chains, he writes this: "Don't worry about anything." Could you imagine writing those words while you were in chains in Rome? "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done." The truth is if anything that's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. We need to pray about everything. And it doesn't always have to be our burden. Sometimes we come with all of our petitions, but honestly, if we're having a conversation, if we're talking with God, it's as simple as that. It's like talking with a friend, right? What a friend we have in Jesus. We want to talk to God as we talk to a friend. Paul writes in his letter to the Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. Now, for somebody like me that has a real struggle with praying for a length of time because the way that my mind goes, that was a real challenge for me. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? I can barely pray for 20 minutes. I can't imagine praying without ceasing. But think of it this way instead. Prayer is nonstop awareness of His presence with you. All right, when it says pray without ceasing, knowing that God is with you at all times, that allows us to just live our lives as lives lived in prayer. Sometimes if you can't pray long, think about how you communicate with a friend with a text. Does anybody ever text? Right, there's times we just connect with people with a short, quick message. In the same way, we can pray that way throughout the day. God, I thank you, Lord, for the rain today. God, I thank you for keeping me safe on the way to the store. God, I thank you for my relationship with my mom today. I thank you, Lord, that I've had some special time with my daughter today. All of these things can be just shared as prayers as we talk to God. Simple conversational moments with God. I can't pray very long, but I never go very long without praying. Amen? So even if you're not able to pray long time, an hour in your prayer closet, whatever, you can pray throughout the day so that you never go terribly long without communicating with God. Number two, sometimes we vent to God. And I've had people come to me and even ask me that. How do you continue to stay joyful? How do you continue to believe when everything that you know is going wrong? And this is what I have told people before. You need to bring that to God. God is not surprised by our anger. God is not surprised by our disappointments. Rather, God would invite us to bring these things to him. And so sometimes we vent. God, I don't understand what's going on in my life. God, I don't understand why my son is so far from you. God, I do not understand why I've lost my job. God, I do not understand why I'm struggling with my finances. God, help me, help me, help me understand these things that I'm going through. And God is not surprised, but welcomes us. Peter writes this, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. It says cast some of your anxiety. All, right? Cast all of your anxiety on him. His shoulders are not too weak to handle what we cast upon them. Amen? His shoulders carried every sin known at that time and to come upon Calvary. And so these cares that we cast on him are not too much for him to carry. God, I'm angry. Where are you? God, I'm hurting. Share your burdens. What a friend we have. Think about so many things that if you have a dear, dear friend, the one person that you can turn to in time of need, how much more then is God that person for you so that you can share these things that are burdening you? So sometimes we talk to God, sometimes we vent to God, and sometimes, hey, we listen to God, right? If we are in communication, it's not all one way, right? We talked about that last week. We have two ears and one mouth. We have to spend at least an equal amount of time in listening as we do talking. John has written this, that Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and I know them. So we need to listen. Listen, listen. Billy Graham is known to have said, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God, right? It's never been meant for us to just tell God what we want him to do. These are my plans, would you bless them? This is what I want to see happen. No, sometimes we need to spend that time in listening so that we understand God's will, right? We are told that it's his perfect will. Don't you want to know his perfect will for your life? And that only comes through listening and listening and listening. The way that Samuel said, he said, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. And it's not necessarily that you're going to hear this audible voice, right? Like, Debbie, this is what I want you to do. Oh, awesome, it's clear. Sometimes it doesn't always happen that way, right? Sometimes it's through reading his word, right? The Bible is living and active, and so if we have it open and if we're reading, then God is going to speak to us through his word. Sometimes it's in your circumstances, right? Because we serve a good God, sometimes doors are open and sometimes they are shut. Our circumstances sometimes allow us to see the will of God in our lives. Sometimes we are too busy trying to pound through a door, and God is saying, no, that door is shut to you because I have something better for you over here. That's a struggle sometimes because we have our circumstances change and we don't understand. That's part of the venting. God, you shut this door. This is something I desperately wanted. I don't understand. And then we listen. I have something better for you. I have something better for you. We have to be able to listen to hear God's voice. Sometimes God speaks to us through a song, right? I know so many people just like to listen to worship music and allow God to speak over their lives, speak life into their existence through song. Sometimes God speaks to us through people, right? I've been praying for you. I had a woman come up to me at the network conference last year, our superintendent's wife, Jane Weiss, and she just came over and sat down next to me, and she goes, I'm so glad I'm sitting next to you. I really felt like God has placed your son and you on my heart. All right, then. And so I said, and she goes, so how are things? I've been praying for you so much. And so I began to share my heart with her, and I felt like God spoke to me. He sees us. I needed so desperately to have this woman sit next to me in a room of 200 ladies. She picks the chair next to me. God speaks through people. Sometimes it's that still, quiet voice of his spirit. So even though I make jokes about the fact that we It's hard to spend time in prayer if we don't take the time to quiet out all the other sounds and all the other voices that we hear. We're never going to hear the voice of the Lord. You need to at least carve out some time to listen where you're not constantly being bombarded with every other voice and every other sound. We need to seek him. So sometimes we talk, sometimes we vent, and sometimes we listen, but in all times, we give thanks to God. All times we give thanks to God for his faithfulness and for his character. Again, in Philippians, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. So when we give thanks to God, when we experience his presence through prayer, then we experience his peace more than we could ever understand. It's unexplainable. And maybe you've been there before where you've spent that time in his presence and you've truly experienced the peace of God. I'm going to tell you, it's through the dark places that God draws us closer. It's an amazing thing that happens as we go through these trials and we go through temptations like Joseph Scriven did, that hymn writer. That only drew him closer to God. And sometimes we have a choice to make. It's either we believe that God is good and we respond accordingly, or we doubt God and we respond accordingly. So the situations that we go through, if we know that God is good, if we're thanking him for his character, then we go through these difficult times, then we understand that God is good and we thank him for it. We draw closer knowing that we have to hold fast to him in all of these situations. It's when we doubt God and we go through these things that we start saying God doesn't really exist and we get angry and we turn from God. Hold fast knowing who God is in his character. Prayer may or may not change your circumstances, but prayer always changes you. So the words again, oh, what a peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. True peace is not the absence of problems. True peace is found in the presence of God. So again, it's not the absence of our problems. We're all going to have them. But peace comes in the presence of God, and that presence of God only comes through prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. And what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. In your bulletin this morning, you have a post-it. Yes? Okay. So I know that in any collection of people in this room, in the sound of my voice, you are going through something. And if it's not you, like I said in the beginning, it's somebody that you really care about. And so what I'd like you to do, let me just say this. If I were to ask that question, is there anybody in this room that is not, if you're not the only one going through the trial, that it's somebody that you care about? Anybody in here, does that speak to you? And so what I'd like you to do is take these post-its, and I would like you to write a simple prayer on it. One sentence. And we're going to exchange these at the end of the service with another brother or sister here in the room so that we can pray for these needs for the next 7 days. Okay? So as I'm closing, I'm going to write on mine. I have pens. Does anybody need a pen? Anyone? You guys good? Need a pen? You need a post-it. Okay, I got extras, Deb. Martha, do you need one? You good? Everybody have a post-it and everybody have a pen. All right, Moy. Okay, there it is. Yes. Amen. a prayer request, something that somebody can lift up on your behalf for the next week. And I'm going to write mine too. So we're going to pray, like I said, for the next 7 days. So let's just pray over these, and then we'll exchange them in a moment. As you're writing, I'm just going to begin to pray over these. Heavenly Father, God, we know, Lord, that your word tells us to cast our cares on you because you care for us. And so, God, we cast these cares upon you, but we also seek to lift them in prayer through our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, and that, God, you are our good, good Father. And, Lord, you're going to hear from heaven these prayers, these prayers of intercession for one for the other. And, God, we know that you hear and answer every prayer. And so, God, we are praying, believing, Lord, that this experience of getting in your presence this week, Lord, will change us. Lord, because we know that our circumstances aren't always going to change, but God, you have this amazing ability to change us as we encounter your holy presence in prayer. So God, be with us this week as we continue to talk with you, even share some of those burdens, those ventings, Lord. Be with us, God, as we thank you in all things. And we just thank you, God, for the opportunity, the privilege, God, to pray. We lift these up to you, God. We commend them. We bring them into the throne room of grace this morning, God, because you've told us that we can. And so we seek your face with each need represented here. And we commend them into your keeping. In Jesus' name, amen.